listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The biggest question that I've had last week, I was pounding my fist, literally. Well, listen, I was pounding, saying, why aren't people talking about this? And I'm going to pose the question again. Todd Gurley, one of the five most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL. If you look at how much he's paid, if you look at the Vegas perspective on his value, one of the only running backs. Look at Le'Veon Bell. You would say, oh, Le'Veon's in that list. Well, Steelers said, you know, literally, we don't want to pay you a long-term contract. They felt like Le'Veon wasn't up to Todd Gurley's level. In fact, a lot of people believe Le'Veon would have got would have signed that tender if it weren't for the Gurley contract. It made him say, see what how they treat a guy like Gurley. I should be treated that way. Gurley's above that to be signed to a long-term deal. And in the game against the Saints, a game that was nip and tuck, that went literally to overtime, that could have went either way, one call, one pass interference call, Rams lose. And Gurley did what in the game, Fez?
4 carries, 10 yards.
Now, Jonas, here's the analogy. LeBron James in a Western final playing 8 minutes. Meaning it's not Gurley carried the ball 25 times for 50 yards and what's wrong with them. It's they didn't use him. And oh, by the way, Todd Gurley was not, N-O-T, not on the injury report before the conference finals. So if he's not injured and you don't play him, and he's one of the five most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL, what the heck is going on? Do you have an answer yet?
I don't. And you try and see reports of Todd Gurley. Is he a problem in the locker room? And according to everybody there, there's no issues. He didn't complain. He didn't throw a tantrum. But when your best player, a guy that's perceived to be one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL, is riding a bike on the sideline during the most important game, it begs the question, what the hell is going on? And nobody has an answer.
Fez, what Vegas does the best, and we are straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell, what Vegas does the best is quantify with numbers, right? We don't talk, we like this, we're saying 58 this, 112 that. Todd Gurley, throughout the season, his average yards expected rushing was what?
Through week 12. High 90s, 98 yards, RJ.
All right, so you could bet over, under, typically 98 yards. Right now, in the Super Bowl, what's his number?
64.
So wait a minute. Is Gurley on the injury report?
Nope.
So once again, not on the injury report, but the Vegas market with millions of dollars being bet, not necessarily on that prop, but billions being bet overall, is saying we expect about a third less from Gurley. Can someone explain this to me? And why isn't this the lead question of every press conference with anyone associated with the Rams?
I saw that an anonymous coach who was not willing to put his name on it reportedly said that C.J. Anderson is a better fit for the Rams than Todd Gurley is now.
So does that presuppose, Jonas, that if the Rams could get out of this contract, they would?
I don't know.
Because I don't know if you know this. C.J. Anderson literally was on a couch 6 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. And there's some people that say that he looks like he was on a couch 6 weeks ago. He was on his he got cut by three teams, I think, this season. It's crazy.
I got to tell you something. The fact this isn't being talked about blows my mind. It almost feels like some grand conspiracy. I'm not sure what the motivation would be to not talk about it.
Wouldn't you guys think, though, that there would be some value in looking? Okay, if everybody's so down on Todd Gurley, isn't this where you guys, being the professionals that have done it for as long, are more successful than everybody? You can buy low on Gurley for this game
alone?
Well,
but that's the question. This is one of those. There's two possibilities. He's either going to be used normally, and in the over yardage is the best bet you could ever get, right?
Right.
Because you're getting like 30 yards of value. Or what we saw in the conference championship, there's some reason for it. Some secret injury, some emotional problem, some whatever. I'm not saying what it is. It's something. And then the under is the best bet. So this is a weird thing where whatever the answer is, either Gurley's going to be played fully and to his max potential, or he's not. And that answer is the only answer that matters on batting it. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm searching high, I'm searching low, and no one has an answer.
And the NFL really frowns upon Todd not reporting injuries and counting it as on the injury report. So if he is injured and they're not reporting it, they're going to get a lot of heat from the league.
Not only are they frowned upon, now that there's millions and millions being bet legally, you can really see a day, and we've said this once before, that there's a class action lawsuit that the injury report is supposed to be accurate. Gurley's not on it. Gurley's not playing. What was his injury status? If you're lying, it's not about Goodell being mad anymore. It's going to be about millions of dollars potentially changing hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, there is a factor into why Tom Brady, even at his age, entering Super Bowl 53, it actually benefits him. What is it?
Well, I think this is probably the key driver of how Tom Brady plays late in his career. Now, Fez, two super contests, only guy to ever do it. In my opinion, best NFL handicapper. All that said, you've been wrong about Brady. I remember, I think it's been maybe 5 years ago that you were saying, literally, guys, we could go to get the tape on our podcast. Fezzik said, you know, I think this is the year Brady hits the wall. I mean, like, we're talking like literally 2013 or 14. True or false?
True. He's been on the edge.
Did you see how quickly he said true and then he moved on?
He's been on the edge of the cliff for 5 years and he never drives off of it.
Why are you screaming like we're like at the on the like like he's never been like
we're
on
Daytona.
A he's so excited. He's like he's I don't know if you can hear me over the roar of the engines, guys. All right. But what did we figure out? Is Brady really did drop off week 14, 15, 16, 17 when he played a full season? Usually the end of the year was a problem. And we know with older quarterbacks, they tend to drop off late in the year. They get banged up, they're a little bit slower, and they don't have any speed to spare, right? The one year that was the big exception late in his career was when Brady was suspended for the first four games, right, post-Deflategate, and then game 16 was really game 12 for him. But here's the beauty, Jonas, with Brady this year. Week 16, home, double-digit favorite against the Bills, if I remember, or the Jets. I can't remember
Bills,
if it was
yeah.
Bills. The next week, double-digit home favorite against the Jets. Then a bye. Then home against the Chargers. Quite frankly, in a game, the Chargers were in a horrible spot, and the Pats dominated, so not in a super intense game. Then on the road, which I thought was the fearful. So back-to-back games now for the first time in a while because they had the bye. And they won that game, and now another bye. So think about it. One road game, like in 6 weeks, with two bye weeks, I think Brady is primed to have a good performance. Why? Because he's rested. And what history shows us is late in Brady's career, his rest, how fatigued he is one of the biggest, if not biggest, indicators of Brady's performance. Thoughts?
Agree, and I love the
Speak
fact.
Speak up, Fess.
I love the fact that Brady has not been sacked in the playoffs. You look at his jersey, it looks like he's in warm-ups. He has not been hit.
And Fezzik's making a great point, and Jonas, you as a fan see this. There's two types of intense games. One is physically. You're getting beat up. You're getting dirty. You're getting hit. And it's also the psychic burden of close, intense games. There was the one against Kansas City. But literally, Brady's had one competitive game since week 15?
Yes.
So one competitive game since week 15. I think he's as rested as he's been at any point prior to the start of the season, you know, week one and two. And at his age, that's the most important thing for Brady. Agree?
I agree. I think that's a compelling case for why Tom may well be getting one more Super Bowl.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I expect the Patriots to run, run, run. Why? Well, it's what we've seen from the Patriots. We talked about Brady and the rest he got in week 16, 17, etc., a lot of that was how much the Patriots tried to run. They didn't want Brady. They were double-digit favorites in those games at the end of the year. They didn't want Brady beat up, so they ran Belichick and ran. And they ran a lot of two-back sets. Friend of the show, Mike Lombardi, pointed out the Rams had faced only about a dozen two-back set plays the entire season. You know the Belichick knows that. And because of that, I expect the Pats to run. So what does that mean? Well, my best bet yesterday, right here on the show at the end of the hour, was over 119 total rush yards for the Patriots. Now, some of that is I don't think the Rams are very good defensively against the run, certainly relative to the past or not, but it's more about the Patriots are going to, I think, want to run the ball. Now, another example of how the game's going to be played is who's going to win. Meaning teams, you always hear these stats. When so-and-so team rushes for 100 yards, they're 40-3. Is that a cause or an effect? Most of the time, it's an effect. Whereas if you're winning the game, you tend to run the ball at the end of the game, right? So I like the Pats. I'm not sure I'm going to bet it at 2.5, but I certainly like the Pats in the game. So I expect the Pats to be ahead, which means I think they're going to run more. So those two things both add up to the Pats running the ball. Both, I think, they want to run two back. And number two, I expect them to be in the lead in the second half. Thus, my pick was over rush yards for the Patriots. Now, you out there, how do you expect the game to go? Another example would be if you expect a team to be winning, you probably aren't anxious to bet their quarterback over passing yards, Fez, because though winning implies they're going to be very effective, it also implies in the second half they're not necessarily going to be throwing a bunch.
Exactly right, because the team that's ahead is probably going to run the ball at least half the time. The team that's trailing, if they're down two scores, are going to throw the ball maybe 70% of the time, rack up a lot of yards.
Prop rules, factor number one, project, handicap, how you expect the game to be played, and the props become much, much clearer. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're here live in Atlanta. Factor number two for me is over versus under on these props. So if it's points, if it's yards, whatever it is, you want to look to bet unders. Now, I'm not saying bet unders blindly. If anything, the best way to explain this is be very judicious, selective betting overs. Why? Because everyone loves betting overs, and because they love it, it's popular. Because it's popular, it's expensive, right? The clubs that the entourage kind of guys go to in L.A., Jonas, they're probably, whatever, $100 a head, whatever, to get into. The clubs you go into are like $2 cover, and you get a free drink.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt about it. Yeah, Starbucks, Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, come on, no cover charge at all.
So popular, unpopular, expensive, not expensive.
Perfect, yes.
Right? And why do people like to bet overs? It's so much more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Go, go, go. Imagine when you bet an under, just say the game total. It's almost like, okay, a team has the ball in the 10, their own 10. Oh, man, I don't want them to punt out of their own end zone. Get a first down. Great. Okay, get another first down. Oh, it's 3rd and 1. I hope you run the ball. And then they get to the 50. It's like, okay, now stop and cough and corner them down. It's no fun.
It's stressful.
Right?
Really stressful.
And remember this. You can always win an over at any time. You can win an over in the first quarter. You can't win an under until the game's over.
Kansas City, New England, 7-0 late in the second quarter. Game goes over.
Heartbreaker. So because the casual fan in the Super Bowl has more casual fan betting than any other sport, you're going to see more of that bias towards the over, more of that expense towards the over. And Fez, I'll make the following point. It's a rare thing that a professional bettor is going to have more than 30% over. So let's say his over-under portfolio in his props. Now, you're projecting you're going to bet about 30 props.
Correct. Currently at 14.
You've got 14 bets in your pocket already.
Yes.
And you're going to have about 14, 15, 16 more is the plan.
Yes.
All right. Now, if you take out the bets that don't have an over-under element, right? So you might be betting things that don't. If you get into that over-under element type bets, what percentage in the long term would you say are over bets for you and under bets for you?
80% to the under. Look at Tom Brady. He opens up 286 yards. You blink, RJ. Premium tax on Brady. He's already up to 300 yards in many places.
We're going over prop rules to win money by. Number one, we talked about it. Handicap how you expect the game to be played and look at the props accordingly. Number two, as we talked about, is overs and unders. The pros bet unders because overs are expensive. If you're betting even half overs, you're not betting like a pro. Another example, which is related, is be careful of field bets. Like who's going to win the MVP? Who's going to win, first touchdown is another example. Why? Because they have about 20 people on the list, and you don't know what the VIG is, the commission is. You can't tell. Now, if you say an over-under, for example, and it's minus 110 each way, right, over 50 yards, minus 110, under 50 yards, minus 110, you know the VIG in that case is less than 5%. In some of these pools with multiple bets that you can't bet the other side, sometimes the VIG is up, 40%, Fez?
And it can be even higher on things like predict the exact final score.
So anything where you're betting a little to win a lot, as our old friend Looney used to call it, that's something where they're going to VIG you to death because they think you're like some lottery idiot, right? So the pros are willing to bet a lot to win a little. And to me, that is the way to go about it. So unders and bet a lot to win a little, or at minimum, don't bet a little to win a lot because they're going to VIG you to death.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas via Atlanta, live.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan, also via Atlanta, or via from Atlanta. Is that better? Is it the proper?
I'm a little, my education's a little stronger, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I go via, you say from.
Yeah, I'm from Atlanta. That works.
But, remember, OUTTA is OUTTA. So
is
it's kind
it?
Of, it's, some would say it's straight hip hop. I'm not saying that.
Now, I would always go GHT in the past, but then I got smarter as we did this show, and I just go double T's.
See, now that's next level.
Oh, yeah, there it is. all right, so guys, we have an NBA doubleheader on ESPN tipping off a little over an hour from now. It is the Pacers at the Wizards. Right now on pregame.com, Steve Fezzik, Washington is a one-point favorite at home.
And I'll lean to Washington. It's all about John Wall.
So wait, you don't like it. Just a lean.
Just a lean, and it's all about John Wall. Big name, really good player, but the team, Washington, was overvalued with them. 12-23 against the spread. Since he's been out for the year, they've been a cover machine. 10-5 against the spread.
Now think about that a second. So 12-23 with them. Now the spread by definition expectation. You're losing a ton of money betting Washington with him. He leaves. Now, some of it's going to be, they've been downgraded and maybe they downgraded him too much. But I also think there's a little maybe addition by subtraction.
Absolutely. John Wall was calling out his teammates, saying that they were the ones that were messing this all up. And I think the team has responded with team ball since Wall has been out.
And I feel like also you had Bradley Beal really want to step up because he wanted to show he could lead the team as well, too, after Wall stepped away. So there's always that. Guys, after they go final in Washington, we've got the Jazz at the Blazers. And Portland, or actually the Jazz now, are a one-point favorite on pregame.com.
And I like Portland here. I actually bet Portland right before I boarded the plane here from Vegas to come to Atlanta. All about the sneaky home court advantage. Portland's been very good at home, 21-7 straight up, 17-10 against the spread. And I like the spot for Portland here as well.
So hold on a second. So what I'm hearing you say is, because to me, I think it's important that we're clear. Sometimes a good record means play on a team. Sometimes a good record against the spread might mean play against a team because they're overvalued and you think it's going to turn. So let's be specific. With these two teams, you believe in the record, ATS shows it, they need home court, both of them.
Exactly right. Now, it's well known that Utah has a really big home court advantage because of the altitude, but the home court advantage in Portland, I think, is less recognized by the marketplace.
So that's factor one. one where more than almost any other NBA matchup, home court matters with these two. They're right in the top tier of that mattering. Factor number two.
Factor number two, it's a great home spot for Portland. They've been home for 6 days, and they haven't played since Saturday. Think about this. NBA teams struggle to have consistent practices. They struggle to have enough time to game plan for an opponent. Portland can do both here for this game.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Back in Vegas, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Real quick on FS1, Creighton St. John's, you have a new feature. It's called a one-line handicap. Go, Brad.
Yeah, like Creighton in this one, bet Creighton minus the 4. Creighton better than their record indicates. Why? They played the 11th toughest schedule in the country, and Creighton also fourth best shooting team in the country. But yet in the first meeting against St. John's, they had their worst shooting percentage of the season. That's an outlier we're going to take advantage of. Creighton minus 4, like them.
That's a bonus. Now, we promised you guys a prop best bet every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, today's Wednesday. That means there's a prop best bet. This is the only one from Brad Powers.
Yeah, and call me square, RJ. I'm going to go okay. Julian Edelman over 79.5 receiving yards. Hear me out here. Edelman, last year, missed all last year, injury. Suspended the first 4 games of this season. Started off slow, had 3-4 games where he didn't do much statistically. Last 11 games, Edelman has topped 79.5 yards, 7 of those 11 games. Playoff Edelman, completely different. Last 12 playoff games for Julian Edelman, he's topped 79.5 yards in 10 of those 12 games. And who's going to be covering Julian Edelman? Nickell Roby-Coleman. If that name sounds familiar, that's the guy that called out Tom Brady for being too old. I think they take advantage of him, a little axe to grind. Over 79.5 receiving yards, Julian Edelman, wide receiver, New England.
I tell you, Fez, I'm tempted to press the green button. I mean, we were preaching unders. He's back in Vegas. He's like off the reservation. He's an outlaw. I wonder if he was laughing, saying, oh, well, I'm going to stick it to RJ and betting over here. In fact, that's it. I'm pressing the green. I don't have the green button. Cha-ching. There it is, baby. I'm betting against Brad Powers. That means Brad Powers is a big underdog, guys.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.